Welcome to Red Meat, a collection of the tastiest tidbits from Odyssey's conservative news talk radio stations across the country, a place where we're not afraid to dig in. Today, we're going to kick things off with good news about manufacturing. Listen in to this report on a change coming from Odyssey in the Motor City. That's right, Detroit, where they make things.
Big changes for the Orion Township GM plants. General Motors will bring full-size SUVs and light-duty pickups to its idled Orion assembly plants.
This news has community leaders positively fizzing with excitement. The deal is part of a $4 billion shift in production from Mexico back here to Michigan. Township trustees have approved a 12-year tax break to support the move, covering up to 50% of property taxes on the new expanded facility. Jimmy Johnson, president of the Orion Chamber of Commerce, says it's a great day for his northern Oakland County community.
This is absolutely fantastic. Seeing it on national news, too, and is where I first saw it, I'm like, oh, wow, this is it. Directly happening to our area.
GM originally planned to produce electric trucks at the plant, but with EV demand cooling, the automaker is adapting, bringing thousands of jobs and a wave of renewed activity back to this community. Here's Jimmy Johnson again.
It's great. It's great news. It's great for all the businesses around here.
Things are certainly feeling turbocharged. Outside GM's Orion Assembly, Tim Pamplin, WWJ News Radio.
Missouri Senator Josh Hawley joined Odyssey in St. Louis to talk about the return of the American worker and the president's plans to keep the momentum going. But first, the senator will, on the Mark Cox Show, take us on a quick tour of what's going down in Los Angeles.
What's your take on this situation in Los Angeles? I mean, how can people look at this and have such dramatically different views and try to claim there's nothing violent happening in Los Angeles?
Well, I've just been watching those cars explode and the rioters block the freeway and assault cops and break windows, the graffiti. I mean, it's outrageous. And the worst part of it is they are waving foreign flags, the Mexican flag, other flags, all over the place as they're doing it. I mean, really, it looks like an invasion. If you didn't know any better, you would say a foreign foe had invaded Los Angeles and was trying to subdue the city, which is why the president was absolutely right to call up the National Guard, send in Marines. I mean, this is outrageous, and we cannot allow it to happen. And I firmly believe, Mark, I really do think there is foreign influence here. You can't tell me that these people are Americans. Of course, we know that most of them aren't. I mean, they're illegals and paid agitators. Somebody is funding this. We need to get to the bottom of who it is, who's coordinating it, who is designing this plan. But priority number one has got to be to bring peace to the streets of L.A. and anywhere else where these rioters try to go, where they try to agitate. And I think the president's doing that.
Well, Governor Newsom, Senator Schiff, Maxine Waters, all of them have been throwing around the word authoritarianism. And I look at the National Guard surrounding federal buildings, preventing what happened in Seattle and some of these other large cities in Portland a few years ago from defacing federal buildings. They're not arresting anyone. They're not attacking these crowds. What's wrong with having a National Guard presence? We should have had it in Ferguson, and half of Ferguson wouldn't have burned down.
You know, there's absolutely nothing wrong with keeping the peace. I mean, that's the first job of government, protect our citizens from the lawless. And boy, what we're seeing in L.A. right now is mass rampant lawlessness, encouraged, aided, and abetted by all of those politicians you just named. And I just say to those folks, why don't you go spend a night on the streets of L.A.? I don't see any of them out there. They're all safely ensconced in their homes, behind their security guards, behind their gates in Washington, D.C. Why don't you go to the streets of L.A.? Why don't you go stand on the line with the cops in L.A.? They're not doing that. I mean, it's the height of hypocrisy. And I just come back to the fact, Governor Newsom, he has allowed his city literally to burn twice now in a year. I mean, how this guy stays in office is just beyond me.
Yeah, Senator, I saw your statement yesterday on the minimum wage. I got to ask you about that. A lot of conservatives who I follow on Twitter and who listen to the show are pushing back hard on that. Can you explain your position on this?
Oh, yeah. My view is this, is that these big corporations have been happy to raise prices on everybody. They've been happy to make record profits. These globalist woke corporations, they've been happy to pay their executives millions and millions of dollars, but they haven't given Americans, working people, a true raise in years. They're also happy to pay illegals and to hire them. We've seen that with companies like Tyson, I'm sorry to say, that have closed plants, or who has closed plants in the state of Missouri, broken contracts with our farmers, and yet we now know have illegals throughout their supply chain. I just think this is ridiculous. And frankly, I think it's time that these companies did right by American workers. The minimum wage right now, the federal wage, not Missouri's, but the federal wage, is at its lowest level when you adjust it for inflation since 1950. So my view is, enough of this coddling of illegals, enough of shipping our jobs overseas, enough of padding the profits of the woke corporations and their CEOs, you know, talking about a trans day and flying the trans flag over their buildings. Enough of that. Why don't we actually give a decent wage to American workers? What I propose is just a mere Missouri law. It's exactly what Missourians voted for a couple of years ago. If it's good enough for Missouri, I figure it's good enough for the country.
I thought in the past, and correct me if I'm wrong, Senator, but I thought in the past you had said, hey, if a company is making a certain amount, that's where I would say you should be paying your employees at least $15 per hour or whatever the amount was at the time. This, what you're proposing, obviously, with it being the federal minimum wage, you're saying, though, would apply to every business. Because the concern I hear from the small businesses is, hey, in some cases, that would put us out. We just couldn't do it.
Yeah, you know, but we've done it in Missouri. I mean, this is the thing I think that is really, for me, is important in telling, is that Missouri voters, the Trump voters, have voted overwhelmingly to raise our minimum wage. And if we can do it, I figure, hey, if it's good enough for Missouri, it's good enough for the country. And frankly, why should folks in other states have minimum wages lower than ours? I mean, I think we've seen it in the state. We've seen how folks have responded. We've seen businesses respond. And the bottom line is this. I mean, the minimum wage is at its lowest level, again, since like 1950, adjusted for inflation. And these huge corporations, they can afford to pay more. And I just think the fact that, I guess I've just been a little bit radicalized by what I have seen from their use of illegal labor, their use of shipping jobs overseas. I've watched it. I've seen it up close. I've seen what Tyson has done in our state. I just am tired of it. I want American workers to actually get a fair shake here. I want our people to be paid well. I want the illegals to be deported. I want the slave labor to get rooted out of our supply chains. And I just frankly don't trust these huge corporations to do what's right for America. I think it's time we did something right for American workers.
Well, I mean, to Kim's point, there may be some small businesses in Missouri that are going to struggle now that we passed this by initiative petition reform in Missouri. I don't think that's something the legislature would have done.
Well, it's telling those of the people that it isn't, Mark. I mean, it was, as you said, it was not a vote of the legislature. You're exactly right. It was a vote directly of our folks, the very folks who elected Donald Trump and me, by double digits. So, you know, I think that people are trying to tell us something, which is that they are hurting. I mean, for 4 years, Joe Biden just relentlessly punished the working people of this country. But honestly, for years before that, these corporations have punished our workers, and they've done it by shipping our jobs overseas, and they've done it by hiring foreign labor, often illegally, as we're seeing. I mean, back to the L.A. riots, have you noticed what they've been saying in L.A.? Oh, we can't have deportations. It'll crash our economy. And I'm like, wait a minute. What do you mean it'll crash the economy? I mean, that's an admission that so much of the economy in California runs on illegal labor. And that's because these corporations are using illegal labor up and down in their supply chains. We have got to put a stop to this and to tell these companies, come on, do right by Americans. I mean, it's time. Enough of this padding your own bottom line while you screw American workers.
Let's talk about the big, beautiful bill, because you had some concerns specifically with Medicaid. And then it sounds like you had a conversation recently with President Trump and maybe felt better about that. Where do you stand on that bill today?
Oh, I've had lots of conversations with President Trump about this, believe me. He and I just talked about it again yesterday, and about the flag I'm going to be introducing. Incidentally, you played his clip from Fort Bragg there at the top, a bill to that he and I talked about to protect the flag and to punish those who burn it. But just on the big, beautiful bill on the Medicaid, listen, my message has been we should do what President Trump said, which is don't cut Medicaid benefits. Cut taxes for working people. No taxes on tips. No taxes on overtime. No taxes on Social Security. You know, he mentioned to me the other day that he thought that was by far the most important thing in the bill. He's probably right about that. We should focus on reducing taxes for working people, putting work requirements on Medicaid. That's important. I'm all for that. But for those, there's a contingent of people who want to go beyond that, a contingent of some Republicans, libertarian types, who want to go beyond that and say, no, we really want to cut Medicaid benefits. Some want to cut Medicare. I can just tell you, the president's been really clear to me on that and really clear in public. He does not want to do that. And I think he's right about that.
So you're okay then with the work requirements, even though that's probably what's going to throw a lot of these people off Medicaid, and it's got the left whipped into a frenzy.
Oh, yeah, 100% of the work requirements and getting rid of illegal immigrants again on Medicaid. I mean, we saw the CBO just came out with an estimate that something like 1.5 million illegals are on Medicaid nationwide. I mean, that's got to end. That should never happen. And people who can work and aren't working should when it comes to getting Medicaid. So I think all of that is common sense. Where I draw the line is right where the president has drawn the line, which is if you are a working person and you are out there, you've got a job, you otherwise qualify for Medicaid, we shouldn't cut your benefits and we should not cut Medicare. So I would just say leave that alone. Make people work, absolutely. Everybody's for that. Get rid of the illegals, other folks who are cheating the system. But beyond that, let's focus our efforts on reversing the Green New scam, getting rid of all of those subsidies that cost $4 trillion. All of that ought to be backed out, all of that waste. Let's make permanent all of the DOGE savings that they found, get rid of all of that fraud and corruption, and let's cut some taxes for working people.
So you convinced this will pass the Senate?
Oh, it will. Yeah, the Senate will pass a bill, absolutely. And then the real question will be, will the House then pass if the Senate passes? Can we get this thing done? I mean, it's June.
Right.
My message has been, we need to move on this, you know, and I know the president's impatient. So the quicker, the better.
All right. Senator Hawley, thanks for your time.
The United States and China worked out the framework of a deal. And what's going on with inflation? Find out with Bob Rose.
U.S.-China trade deal done. Pending presidential approval just minutes ago. Trump said this. The U.S. and China reached a framework to implement a trade deal struck between the two sides last month in Geneva, according to Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick. Trump then posted on Truth Social, again, minutes ago, that our deal with China is done, subject to final approval with President Xi and me. That could be a movie. President Xi and me. The development comes after 2 days of meetings between negotiators in London and a phone call last week between President Donald Trump and President Xi. U.S. and China announced a 90-day détente that involved reduced tariffs in May, but both sides had accused each other of running afoul of the deal. We have reached a framework to implement the Geneva Consensus, according to Lut. Wow. Full magnets and any necessary rare earths will be supplied upfront by China. Likewise, we will provide to China what was agreed to, including Chinese students using our colleges and universities, which we are getting a total of 55% tariffs. China's getting 10%. Relationship is excellent, Trump added. Wow. I wonder what that'll do to the market. I would assume that the market will like that, that the market will smile. But I guess we should make assumptions when it comes to the market. But the China thing was always really the sticky part of the whole trade thing, wasn't it? Probably the most concerning aspect of it. Newspaper reporting, key goal for the American negotiators led by Lutnick and Treasury Secretary Scott Bessin was to encourage Beijing to accelerate their exports of rare earth minerals and magnets that contain them. Meanwhile, Beijing's negotiators asked the U.S. to ease restrictions on the sale of technology and other goods to China. Huh. So we'll get more details as they do unveil those aspects of the agreement. But at least in appearance and on the surface, you would have to say that this is a very good thing. And the market should like that. Market's in pretty good shape. I think the last I saw, we're nearing 43,000. Time to cash it in and buy that precious metal that we're going to need for the upcoming riots, lead. Hey, inflation increased, but only slightly in May. Remained above the Federal Reserve's target rate, though, ahead of the central bank's next meeting, which is coming up later on this month. The Bureau of Labor Statistics on Wednesday said the Consumer Price Index, a broad measure of how everyday goods like gasoline, groceries, and rent costs, rose 0.1% in May compared with last month, while it was up 2.4% on an annual basis. Man, if they would just put the numbers together like exactly the same way they did, you know, when Biden was president and he had the inflation going through the roof, man, this looks phenomenal compared to that. That's all I could say. I know it's not exactly at the Fed's target, so to speak, the 2% thing overall yearly, but it's looking pretty darn good, I have to tell you. So hang in there, my friends. All right. We are watching a dictator take over in real time.
What?
Yeah, listen to this. The upside down flag. You know, America's in distress.
Right.
Well, they say American democracy is in distress. Yeah, it's a representative constitutional republic. Someday they'll figure that out. But for now, it is not unpatriotic to resist. It is unpatriotic to stay silent. Women's March Foundation President Emiliana Guerra claimed in a press release on Tuesday. The group press release was branded an SOS, Save Our Ship, and referred to flying flags upside down as a historic signal of distress. You know, I bet these same people were flying their flags upside down as the borders were wide open. America was in distress.
You mean while the invasion was going on?
Yeah, we had 70 to 100,000 people die between the ages of 18 and 49 per year from fentanyl.
No, no, Bob, we did not hear from these people, and they were not suggesting that we fly the American
record
flag upside down.
Numbers of people put into some form of human slavery.
No, they were not. They were not looking at that as a distressful situation.
Illegals that were coming from murderous, rapist, drug dealing gangs were flooding our cities.
No, gangs in apartment complexes was not distressful enough for them.
So America's in distress because we have federal law enforcement that is trying to get rid of an invading force that has done damage to Americans and America.
According to these whack jobs, yes.
Huh. Okay. The Women's March Foundation is calling on all Americans, whether they're marching, protesting, or sitting this one out, to join them in a powerful visual act of resistance. The organization went as far as comparing Trump's crackdown on illegal immigration to early Nazi tactics and slammed him for bypassing the will of California's leftist leadership in sending the National Guard to Los Angeles. How dare we have a president who thinks that people should follow the law, including immigration laws? Wow. And really, the early Nazi Germany tactics. The guy who has been the greatest friend as a president to Israel in the history of our country is the guy that is compared to Nazi Germany and kicking Jews out or putting them on trains.
Wouldn't you think that at some point either they would have caught on to the irony of that, or they really think people are stupid?
I guess these people, I believe there's at least enough of them that they're true believers.
I guess.
I mean, I told you, I saw something on Facebook earlier from someone that I know, and I know he was serious when he said, these are peaceful protests. There's been no violence, and that you're just wasting money by sending troops that were not asked for and stopping people from exercising their constitutional rights.
They must be listening to Maxine Waters.
And this came out to where there's been days and days of coverage, but apparently, I guess a lot of the networks are treating it similar to how they treated the border.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess they're trying to make it a non-story.
Right.
But didn't they get busted for doing that during the summer riots and the BLM and all that?
Yep.
These are mostly peaceful riots, and literally the building behind the reporter is burning down. Burning down.
What's a peaceful protest?
Oh, my God.
I know. It's crazy, isn't it?
Lord, hear our prayer.
Oh.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Red Meat. Don't forget to smash that subscribe button for your favorite tasty assortment of conservative audio. And follow your local Odyssey talk station to get shows from these hosts delivered daily wherever you get your podcasts. Until next time, stay hungry.